This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of lakes in Superior, Wisconsin. Ray Paulson here. It's Tuesday, June 27th, 1950. We've got a live broadcast from Washburn, where the Commercial Club is throwing its first annual Appreciation Day picnic. Jack McKenna will be competing in the log rolling contest.
A recipe for disaster, if there ever was one.
And we've got the best music of 1950. First, Lou Martin has news about the new war in Korea. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Northwest Orient Airlines, featuring Stratocruisers from Duluth to Chicago in just 2 hours and 45 minutes. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Ray, and good listeners. The United States is in the Korean War. President Truman has ordered American bombers to attack communist invaders in Korea, and American warships are sailing from Tokyo. We begin our shortwave radio report from Tokyo.
This is Japan. Russell Brines in Tokyo. A South Korean broadcast today says American bombers and fighter planes are attacking tanks of the invading North Korean Reds. The broadcast was made in the name of President Syngman Rhee of the South Korean Republic. A report that apparently was well-founded says American planes would begin bombing all towns captured by North Korean troops today. A report that apparently was well-founded says American planes would begin bombing all towns captured by North Korean troops today. They will continue bombing until the Northerners have retreated back across the 38th parallel. A report that American manned bombers would take such action was confirmed by usually informed sources. Seoul Radio is maintaining a consistent series of reports saying that American planes will come over South Korea and urged all Koreans to keep up their spirits. The broadcasts also have repeated that field headquarters of General Douglas MacArthur will be established. General MacArthur's headquarters meanwhile announced that American embassy and American military advisors have not left Seoul. In Tokyo, this is Russell Brines reporting.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in Seoul, South Korea. U.S. manned fighters shot down 4 North Korean planes today. The enemy planes were attempting to disrupt the evacuation of Americans from South Korea. There was no official announcement of the action from General MacArthur's headquarters in Tokyo, but reports gathered by correspondents here bore out the figures. MacArthur's headquarters officially announced earlier today that one American fighter had shot down a Russian-built North Korean plane attempting to interfere with the aircraft at Kimpo Field outside of Seoul. In the besieged city of Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. President Truman ordered United States planes and warships to the aid of South Korean forces today. He laid down a policy of standing firm against communist aggression in the far Pacific. Mr. Truman directed that the U.S. 7th Fleet be prepared to intervene to prevent any communist attack on Formosa, the island refuge of the Chinese nationalist government. At the same time, he asked that Chiang Kai-shek, head of the Chinese nationalists, cease attacks on the mainland as a way to pacify the whole area. He also announced he is stepping up aid to the Philippines and Indochina. Mr. Truman said, quoting now, "The attack upon Korea makes it plain beyond all doubt that communism has passed beyond the use of subversion to conquer independent nations and will now use armed invasion and war," end quote. It was learned that Mr. Truman's historic decisions were reached at a high policy meeting at the White House Monday night. Today, he called both Democratic and Republican congressional leaders to the White House to review the policies and explain the background. Secretary of Defense Lewis Johnson says that the United States moves in the Pacific situation do not commit this country to sending land troops into action. The United States actions were taken under the United Nations resolution, which condemned the communist invasion of Korea and asked all members of the UN to lend support to carrying out the UN declaration to halt the fighting. The next big question is, what will be Russia's reaction? The hope of American officials is that the Soviets will refrain from any direct aid to North Korea forces and permit the fighting to end. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
An Ashland man is believed to be with the United States delegation fleeing with the government of South Korea. Dr. Alvin C. Breaux left this spring to be with the cultural attaché of the State Department at Seoul. He had held a professorship at Northland College in Ashland. Mrs. Breaux, the daughter of the Reverend and Mrs. A.D. Harmon of Cable, is living in Cable while her husband is in Korea. She and her 19-year-old son had planned to leave the latter part of July to join her husband. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Ray Paulson has this word from Northwest Orient Airlines.
Hey, how would you like to travel fast, travel comfortable, and make it really quick? You can do it with Northwest Stratocruisers. Via Northwest Martin Luxury Liner, connections at Minneapolis-St. Paul, leave Duluth at 10:20 a.m. and 2:20 p.m. And listen to this. You take a trip to Chicago, it's just 2 hours 45 minutes. Detroit, 3 hours 25 minutes. How about going to New York, the Big Apple? 5 hours 50 minutes and you're there, ready to celebrate and party the big town. Seattle, 8 hours 55 minutes. Ask about Northwest Half Fare Family Plan. Travel fast, travel in luxury, on Northwest Stratocruisers. Northwest Orient Airlines. Ticket office at 334 West Superior Street. Now from the high flying to the slowing down of the railroads, here's Lou Martin.
Federal mediators plan talks with representatives from 5 Midwest and Western railroads hit by a switchman strike. Last night, the government men had parleys with the AFL Switchman's Union of North America. The outlook for peace is dim. The railroads struck by the 4,000 men are Chicago, Rock Island and Pacific, the Denver and Rio Grande Western, the Western Pacific, the Chicago Great Western, and the Great Northern. All but the Great Northern have stopped operations. The GN is running passengers, but its freight is hit. Great Northern Railroad shops in Superior will close. KUWS Radio Newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Rail officials announced that the Great Northern shop in Superior, as well as in other cities, would be shut down by Thursday. The Superior shop and repair track employees number about 450 men. Passenger service on the road is being maintained, but freighter service has been virtually cut off in Superior. Superintendent C.O. Hooker says they're concentrating efforts on keeping iron ore moving from the Minnesota Range to Superior. With officials and supervisory employees manning the ore drags, the GN Dock and LOEs managed to load out 3 freighters today. Behind the pace set the first day of the strike when 8 freighters were loaded out on Monday. Well, freighters originally scheduled for the Superior dock are being diverted to other ports on Lake Superior, so the switchman strike has created a tremendous spurt in ore shipping at Ashland. Many ships headed for the Twin Ports have been rerouted to Ashland to take on cargoes. With the shipping increase, employment has taken a big leap there. 21 new ore punchers were hired on the Northwestern dock, bringing the total hired in the past 3 days to 30, and this augments the regular roster of 86 men. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. No progress was reported in the dispute between the Superior Restaurant Association and the Hotel and Restaurant Employees Local 84 today. A series of conferences conducted by Henry Rule of the Wisconsin Employment Relations Board took place today. The union continues to picket Chef's Restaurant, although the other restaurants reopened after being closed since the strike at Chef's was called last Thursday. Application of a solution containing DDT has proved highly successful in Ashland Parks. That according to the city manager, Joseph Warren. 3 parks, Memorial, City Hall, and Prentice Park, got doses of the solution Saturday, as did both bathing beaches, Lake Park and Maslowski. Persons who used the park and the beaches over the weekend reported very few mosquitoes. The practice of spraying DDT will continue throughout the rest of the summer and fall. Come rain or shine, Cornucopia's fifth annual fish dinner is to be served from noon to 8 o'clock on Sunday, July the 2nd. The motto again is, all you can eat for a buck. Sponsored and served by the Cornucopia Men's Club, the fish fry is really something to behold. When an ample supply in the fryer and larder is dwindled, the fishermen make out with their boats and nets and bring in a fresh mess to keep the crowd fed. Last year, in the middle of the big fry, the heavens sent their blessings to Earth, dampening the outdoor fryer. This year, the club is building an enclosed kitchen equipped with three bottles of gas fryers. The Washburn versus Cornucopia 9 is expected to get on its way at 2 o'clock. For the hungry after the game, the kitchen will be open so that visitors leave Cornucopia with their fill of lake trout for the day. Ray?
I love that trout and boiled potatoes and onions. Oh, man, that's good. Thank you, KUWS newsman Lou Martin.
You know, if Jack were here, he'd say something like, thanks, Lou Martin, the fishiest newsman around.
Not everyone can be that clever.
I've dreamed of this day.
Jack and Harriet are in Washburn with reports from the Washburn Commercial Club Appreciation Day picnic. But first, the weather for this Tuesday, June 27th, 1950. Partly clear and warmer tonight with a low of 53 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny and a comfortable 68. We've got great music just for you. Let's start with Mitch Miller and his orchestra and the Yellow Rose of Texas on the Martin and McKenna Show. Mitch Miller, and the Yellow Rose of Texas on KUWS. Friends, how mild can a cigarette be? Lovely opera star Patrice Munsell says, quote, "As a singer, I find Camel mildness especially welcome. Camels not only agree with my throat, but they also suit my taste to a T." Remember, folks, more doctors smoke Camel cigarettes than any other cigarette. Let's go now by long-distance telephone to Memorial Park in Washburn with Jack McKenna. Hello, Jack.
You're going to have to get Big Boy away from the buffet to see Harriet, though.
He's supposed to be on the air.
Oh, no, and his mouth is full.
What a shocker that is. Engineer in charge, Joe Gordonio here. Jack should be with us any moment. I said, Jack should be with us any moment.
No, my mouth was full. Yes,
Ray, we have 200 strapping farm men and their families here for this gala picnic. Washburn Mayor Hans J. Thompson is welcoming each and every man. Except me. Not good enough for his honor, I guess. Well, back at you, Ray. The Horseshoe Championship is underway, and when our ace announcer is done filling his pie hole, he may actually be able to tell you about it.
Great job, Joe. No guarantees about Jack.
I hope he brings some of that chow back with him. Newsmen get hungry, too.
When there's a good spread at a picnic, he can be gone for hours. So, let's enjoy this favorite from Doris Day and Secret Love on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Once I had a secret love that lived within the heart of all too soon, my secret love became impatient to be free. So I told a friendly star the way that dreamers are. Just how wonderful you are, and why I'm so in love with you. Secret love's no secrets anymore.
That's Doris Day, the freckle-faced girl, lovely, and her hit, Secret Love. We have a live broadcast from Memorial Park in Washburn this evening with Jack McKenna and Harriet Farray. Hello, Jack.
Now the big guy is busy turning his shirt inside out to hide all the melted butter stains on it. He's missing the big horseshoe tournament.
It's so exciting. The men's horseshoe throw is tied at 12 to 12. Chauncey the Bear Hunter of Iron River and Bayfield County Clerk of Circuit Court Ace Wiley are fighting it out.
Boy, I've never seen two guys so caught up in pitching horseshoes. In fact, I'd say old Chauncey is pitching some manure as well.
Give me that microphone, boy. Chauncey the Bear Hunter here. Meet the missus, Diane the Huntress. She's from Australia.
Yes, I was, boys.
I wish you wouldn't say that, dear. Some men get the wrong idea.
I want an imagination. Nobody's going to do that as long as I have my big, strong Chauncey at my side.
Talk about your saucy Aussie.
She could hunt me down any old time.
Why me?
Joe started it.
Where's that big beluga? There you are.
That's Ace Wiley, the only man standing between Chauncey and the Golden Horseshoe.
You ready to heave a few shoes, Wiley, or are you ready to give up? Nobody beats the Bear Hunter.
Oh, Chauncey, it's so competitive.
Let's finish this Bear Hunter.
The scowling men are taking up their horseshoes.
Such competition.
Such intensity.
Such stupidity. I mean, horseshoe isn't really gold.
Well, that's just fine. Haven't you ever heard of theater of the mind?
Isn't that playing at the palace?
Hey, look! A ringer!
Ace Wiley got a ringer!
The aces have it. Chauncey the Bear Hunter loses.
Wow! What a finish! I think the Bear Hunter is crying.
How sad. His big shoulders are shaking.
Well, I wouldn't feel too sorry for the old boy. He still has Diane the Huntress to go home with.
Good point.
We'd better send it back to Ray and Lewis now.
Good idea. That'll give us time to get Jack ready for the log rolling. Back to you guys.
The what now?
Log rolling. We thought it'd be kind of fun since they're doing it and everything, so we volunteered you.
I'm not getting on any old log. There's too much potato salad in Jack to roll any logs.
Well, this sounds promising.
Ominous, if you ask me. Let's hear from Billy Vaughn and Melody of Love on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
That's Billy Vaughn and Melody of Love on KUWS. Let's take you back to Memorial Park in Washburn.
Hey, you McKenna?
That's me. And I didn't know that was the last of the beans, or I would have saved some. Honest.
I'm not here about the beans, honey. But they are rather stirred up over there about that thing. You better lay low, sonny. George Glazer here.
You're going to be the log roller? It's that guy over there. Oh, skinny one with all the pens and shirt pockets.
Well, he's giving advice to everyone. Getting under people's skin.
That's him.
Mr. Glazer, I just wanted to shake your hand. I've heard so much about you.
The ladies love me. Always have. Something about log rolling that drives them wild.
Glad to meet you, Miss Harriet.
I may be 71 years old, but I've got the legs of a teenager. Wait, while I pull up my pants leg. Here, see?
Yes, very nice.
Nice.
Attractive, I mean.
What's going on out there?
Some guy showing off his leg to Harriet. Pretty impressive, since she's never seen your knees.
He's showing his knees to her? What kind of a picnic is that?
Let me tell you, Miss Harriet and Mr. McKenna, I got these young, smooth legs from 55 years of burling. I moved here from Eastern Canada in 96 as a lad of 16. Hey, let me tell you, young lady, Shawamigan Bay was a different place. There were so many logs hanging from the lumberjacks to the sawmills, which dotted the waterfronts all along here, that you could walk across the water. Log to log. No fibbing. Running the logs became second nature to me. I worked on river drives, rafts, and mill ponds, pitting my sure-footed skill against the treacherous timbers.
Impressive.
I could step back, front step, hob the log all the time, making some real white water. Tell you this, ma'am, it served me well. See, in 1910, I was the king of the whitewater here in Washburn. Whitewater is when you really get a log rolling so fast you're kicking up water till it covers the log, making it look white. Well, that same year, 1910, I won the burling tournament in White City Park in Duluth. Not only did I beat Tom Fleming, who was the first world burling champion in 1898, but there was a future world champion, Big Joe Madwosh of Cloquet. He won it most of the years in the 1920s. But, oh, heck, that's enough about me. Tell me about yourself. Maybe you'd let me look at your game.
Hubba, hubba.
Stop encouraging that guy. And tell Harriet I can hear everything.
Hey, Glazer, that's the log rolling guy. His name's Joe. Tell him he's got great game. He'll do anything.
That's so?
What's everyone looking at my legs for? Who's the old guy?
George Glazer. I'm going to teach you how to roll along. You've got the perfect sinewy legs for it.
Oh, no. I'm not going out there. Not me. No, siree, Bob. I may be crazy.
And unstable.
And a bit nutsy.
Eccentric.
Delusional.
I said I may be crazy, but I'm not rolling a log.
Where are you, chicken?
You're not getting me on a log no matter what you say. You can compliment my legs all day long.
Oh, you are a chicken.
Get your hand
you
off my leg.
Chicken those feathers are growing out of your ears.
Those are
sinews. Yeah,
that's not a baby. It's a sinew, I tell you.
What a swell family picnic going on here, Lou and Ray.
Somebody should kick that Glazer guy right in the shins.
We'll come back to Washburn, especially if Joe's going to Burl. But let's hear the Mills Brothers and across the alley from the Alamo on the Martin and McKenna live show from the Washburn Picnic Show.
Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto pony and a Navajo who sang a sort of Indian idaho to the people passing by. The pinto spent his time a swishing flies, and the Navajo watched the lazy skies, and very rarely did they ever rest their eyes on the people passing by. One day they went a-walking along the railroad track. They were swishing, not a-looking. Doot, doot. Then
never came back. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the summer sun decides to settle low, a fly sings an Indian hearty-ho to the people passing by. Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto, a pony, and a Navajo, who used to bake friolis and cornmeal dough for the people passing by. They thought that they would make some easy bucks by washing their friolis in Duz and Lux, a pair of very conscientious clucks to the people passing by. Then they took this cheap vacation. The shoes were polished bright. No, they never heard the whistle. Toot, toot. They're clear out of sight. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the starlight beams its tender glow, the beans go to sleep and then there ain't no dough for the people passing by. One day they went a-walking along the railroad track. They were swishing, a-looking, toot, toot. They never came back. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the summer sun decides to settle low, a fly sings an Indian hidey-ho to the people passing by. Across the alley from the Alamo.
Oh, yeah, the Mills Brothers. And across the alley from the Alamo.
Hey, Jack, how's Harriet?
She's still staring at Glazer's legs.
What?
Just kidding. But I think there's trouble a-brewing.
Something's brewing.
Smells bad, whatever it is. Kind of tarish.
I don't think you should have turned Glazer down. You should have rolled a log.
I should have. You're the one who was supposed to be the big radio star who put his big size 15s on a log and rolled it.
I thought it meant pushing a log on the ground. I didn't know there was any cold Lake Superior water in the deal.
Oh, goodness! There's a bunch of big, burly farmers over there dumping feathers from pillows into a barrel.
You think this is part of the picnic? Some kind of pillow fight contest?
What would a mob of farmers do with a bunch of feathers and a keg of hot tar?
Oh, I'm getting my berth! I'll be in the car, boys.
Would you look at the time?
Didn't realize it was so late.
We'd better be moseying on home.
The farmers are headed this way.
I don't think they want to shake our hands goodbye.
Run for your lives.
You got the keys?
I hope Harriet's got them. I hate being tarred and feathers.
Last time it took forever to come off my skin.
It's a nightmare to get out of your hair, too.
Start the car. I don't think my feet are even touching the ground.
Kind of like log rolling, eh, Joe?
Run!
That's just perfect.
A perfect record of getting thrown out of every place we do live remote broadcast.
I stopped going to these things after the pig stampede at the Bayfield County Fair in 1940.
Hey, Lou, do you think they'll be okay?
I'm not worried. Harriet's driving. She's got a lead foot.
Stay tuned, folks, for Penny Singleton, the Green Hornet, and Candid Microphone. As Jack likes to say, we'll be back. Same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Harriet's lead foot doesn't give out. For Lou and the gang, this is Ray Paulson saying so long.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Don Hansen, Danielle Kading, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.